Alabaster International Ministry presents Jesus Celebration with Prophet Kofi Odru. This is the season of the celebration of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah. Alabaster, hallelujah. Clap your hands for the Lord. We give God the glory. Man, what an atmosphere. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. You may be seated for just a few minutes. You sang beautifully. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, for the first time, my father, Reverend Eastwood Anaba, is in the house. I have was a montable of folk. Somebody's free. Tonight is tonight. I've waited for tonight. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, before Papa comes, I would love to give glory to God for the life of such a great and august man of God. Once the Lord called me growing up as a young man, a young Christian and a young preacher, one of the icons. I have followed all my life. Is this great man. His first book, I read it, and every book since is a delight to read from him. Tonight we are so honored, blessed. Hallelujah. I'm going to let the production people play the introduction as we welcome our father, but also to let you know that we are humbled to receive such a great man of God to come to our level to encourage some of us upcoming people is such an honor. Thank you, Papa. We are grateful. Thank you. Thank you.
Pastor Eastwood Anaba is the founder and president of the Eastwood Anaba Ministries, headquartered in Bolgatanga. Eastwood Anaba Ministries is dedicated to influencing the body of Christ to be a repositioned and revived people of God, ready for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. He and his wife Rosemond serve as the senior pastorate of the Desert Pastures Fountain Gate Chapel, Bolgatanga. Fountain Gate Chapel is a people-oriented and mission-hearted ministry with over 300 member churches worldwide. Pastor Eastwood is a revivalist with an uncompromising message on the Holy Ghost, righteousness, discipline, and order in the body of Christ. He has written over 100 books, including God's End Time Militia and The Love Revolution.
That fire will sweep the stone. That fire will come to the church. And holiness will be in the house of God. For upon Mount Zion, there shall be deliverance and there shall be holiness. You have no business with holiness. You have no business with the ministry. You have no business with preaching. You have no business with the pulpit. Let the pulpit be holy. Let the house of God be holy. Let the house of God be sanctified. Come on, scream like your voice is yours and press.
Ladies and gentlemen, Alabaster International Ministries, with a round of applause and a standing ovation, shall we welcome God's servant and end time general, Pastor Eastwood Anaba.
I thought it was the principality of Thessalonica.
Lift up your hands to Jesus. Now my voice is challenged, so if the sound people can help me by not putting this sound on economy, it will help me. Lift up your hands and worship him. Give him glory. For a historic night to be in this house. I'm around the whole world and all I hear is TA. And I never knew that one day I'll be standing here and preaching. Now, seriously, there are many pulpits in the world where the anointing is very strong, and I pray that one day I'll be invited to come and preach, but not here. If you give me all the churches in the world and say, where don't I want to go, is here. Because, you see, the kind of bomb you throw from here. No. This place is like a terrorist camp. So, I told our church, I said they should advise the pastor that whilst I'm here, no bomb. If he has anything to say, he should wait when I leave. Because me yo hufo, me mpe asembiya, mpe se me preachi ka krevi na mkom baby. Enti, se mwo bibi ka, mon chenyon, wiki chwe mwa. So, there should be no Trafalgar Square here. Here just but we thank God for the life of Prophet Kofi Odru and Mama Rita Odru. I mean, we just thank God. You know, sometimes you just want something different, and when you come here, there's something different. You understand? I mean, there are times somebody wants to say gray. And instead of saying gray, they say black plus white, a hint of blue. You get confused. Just say gray, and everybody's free. But we thank God for the man who can say it, who can talk it. Amen. And above all, who can live it. Okay, and so we bless God for his life, and thank God for all of you, and I want to celebrate all of you for bringing me here today. Amen. All right, mommy sends her greetings. She couldn't come with me because I dragged her around the whole world, from Pogatanga to Tamale, then I dragged her to Accra, then I dragged her to US, then to London, and then to so many strange places. Yesterday, last weekend, when I deposited her in Boga, I felt she was too tired. She should just wait, and I'll come this one and come, because when I finish this one, I have to be in Sunyani too. So you can imagine, you know, so after this one, I have to be in Sunyani. Then I have to return from Sunyani, and I'm back in Boga for an event next week. And then I do an event in Boga next week from Monday to Friday. And then I finish on Sunday. And then on Monday, I'm back to Accra. It's just too much. It's just too much. You know, to do what we do from that far away place, is no easy task. But God makes grace abound towards us in all things. And tonight I'm going to be speaking to you on saviors. And I love to speak on this topic. And you know, saviors is a book I wrote. I will encourage you to get a copy and read. Now, incidentally, the last copies of saviors are with us in this building. That means the copies you have in this building, if they finish, there is no Savior's book to sell again in Ghana. Okay, so you are the end of Savior's. And this one is called the Savior's Warrant. That is the prayer manual that goes with this. And then I have here the Spirit, following the Spirit. Then I have Breaking the Spirit of Discouragement. And then I have Explosion, Explode, Explosive, and Explosives. Okay. So, now, tonight, by the grace of God, my next two books will land in Ghana. But there are just few copies that are coming. One of them is called Four Kinds. And the other one is Humility. So, Humility and Four Kinds. So, they will be landing today. Somebody's bringing me copies of the book from London. I've never seen them myself. They've just finished printing them, and they'll be bringing them to me from London. Okay. But tonight I'm speaking on a topic that is very dear to my heart, and it's called saviors. When you speak about saviors, people get confused. They're like, but we have only one savior. That is true. But the word savior is just a word. And it's a name. Saviors actually means Joshua. So if somebody's called Joshua, that one and savior is the same. Okay. So if they call somebody Joshua in the Bible, and they call somebody Jesus, it's the same. Jesus in the Greek, then Joshua in the Hebrew. So when they say savior, don't get frustrated. How many saviors can we have? There is only one savior who saves our soul, redeems our souls, our spirit, and is taking us to heaven. But just like there is one Christ, but we are Christians, there is the savior, and after his example, we must become saviors of the people. And when you read the Bible said in Acts chapter 4, the verse number 12, it talks about there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved except the name of Jesus. Then the Bible said in Acts chapter 5, the verse number 30 and verse 31, it talks about the fact that they slew Jesus and God raised him from the dead, put him on his own right hand, and with his own right hand, he has exalted him to be a prince and to be a savior. So we know that Jesus Christ is a savior. He said it, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And there is one God and one mediator between God and man, and that mediator is the Lord Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, we use that word savior in the limited sense to mean somebody who is in a family, a company, a business, a ministry, or a nation, and his idea is to liberate his people, free his people, emancipate his people from oppression. And you will see that term being used for human beings in the Bible, like in the book of Obadiah, chapter 1, and the verse number 17. The Bible said that upon Mount Zion, there shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. I want you to take note of that word, the house of Jacob. The house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. And let's continue to the verse number 18. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble, and they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken it. And they of the south shall possess the mount of Esau, and they of the plain, and they of the plain, the Philistines, and they shall possess the fields of Ephraim and the fields of Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead. And the Bible said, and the captivity of the host of the children of Israel shall possess that of the Canaanites, even unto Zarephath, and the captivity of Jerusalem, which is in Sepharad, shall possess the cities of the south. The Bible said, and saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord. And saviors shall come up on Mount Zion. The call to saviorhood is a higher level of leadership. It's a higher level of leadership. Whenever you see leaders, and tomorrow I'll talk to you about the pattern for saviorhood. The saviorhood or saviors, they like to do it alone. They go alone. In fact, they don't care whether somebody's involved, nobody's involved, anybody wants to do it, anybody doesn't want to do it. Saviors decide, I'm doing this thing alone. I don't care whether anybody wants to do it or not. I can do this thing alone. That is the language of the saviors. And I'll be dealing with that tomorrow night. The solitude and the aloneness of a savior. So you realize that when Jesus Christ was dying on the cross, he went there alone. 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 Can you imagine Jesus on the cross calling for blood donation? That everybody bring your blood, we are going to save the world. Some of you, your blood would have spoiled the salvation. You, your blood, lying, stealing, fornication, adultery. No, you alone anchor salvation, I say. So it had to take one person dying on the cross to save all of us. And that is how in a family, you just need one man. Sometimes in a nation, you just need one man. Sometimes in a village, you just need one man. You know what, people? It's a higher level of leadership. And the people that God calls into the ministry of saviorhood, they are people that are noted for two things. One of them is obedience. They are very obedient personalities. No. Saviors don't receive one instruction twice. No, I mean, it's like if you are sent on a mission to go and rescue captives during a war, and you are the kind who must receive an instruction twice. And when they are talking to you on the Motorola, they must repeat every instruction three times or four before you get it. Everybody will die in the battlefield. Those people are so obedient that one instruction and a mission is executed. But today, I'm not going to be talking about the obedience of saviors. I just want to talk about the sacrifice of saviors. The fact that saviors are very sacrificial people. So Jesus offered. He sacrificed time, sacrificed sleep, sacrificed dignity, sacrificed everything, including his honor. Finally, sacrificed his life. So his whole body, the Bible said, the Lord had prepared him as a sacrifice. You know what, prophet? I have met many people who tell me to rest. No, I hear that stupid anthem every day. You need to rest. Make time and rest. Use wisdom. Well, you can use wisdom because there are many preachers in Accra. In fact, wherever you tend to, there's a preacher in Accra. Your village too. There are many people who can help the village. Your family. There are many people who can help the family. By the time you are asleep, somebody else is working in your family. But when you come to some of our cases, where you look around and you think a lot of these things, you are the only person who applies your mind to it. There's no way you can sleep. No. That word rest will leave your vocabulary. I remember some time ago, I was in a pastor's room, a very big pastor outside this country. And they brought the pictures of the God's generals. And they showed how many of these people died when they were young. Many of them died when they were young men. And then the pastor told me something. He said, Eastwood, you know, all these people didn't use wisdom. And they died early. They didn't use wisdom. They didn't rest. God gave them the ministry and gave them the anointing. But because they didn't use wisdom, they just worked their bodies until they died. And that is what all of us have been saying. I went back to the hotel. The Lord told me, don't listen to the nonsense. I said, well, God said, he said, they didn't die because they were fools. They died because they made a sacrifice. He said, these men, oh, they were like Jesus. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who endured the cross because of the joy that was set before him. But what this is said, for consider this one who endured such a contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you become weary and faint in your mind. We are dealing with a man who came into the world and he knew he had a mission, and the mission was to save the world. He sacrificed everything. The thing about saviors is sacrifice. And when you look at the two gentlemen who are featured prominently in the book of Obadiah, chapter 1, from the verse number 17. It talks about the house of Esau and the house of Jacob. And he said, and the house of Jacob shall devour, there shall be a fire. And the house of Joseph, who came from Jacob, shall be a flame. But the house of Esau shall be a stubble. And there will be stubble. And the house of Jacob shall devour or kindle in them and devour them. And there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So by the time it is saying, saviors will come out of Mount Zion, he's talking about the fact that saviors with the nature of Jacob. Because the saviors he's talking about are people like Ehud, Gideon, Barak, Jephthah, Samson, David. Those are the kind of people that came up in Israel. And they saved the people and delivered them. I don't know, but in your family, somebody has to stand up. Somebody has to decide. Listen, nobody will come and give that job to you. It is a role you elect yourself. You tell yourself, in this family, nobody cares, but I care. And I will put my life on the line to let this happen. happen, and I'm ready to die for it. There is no month I don't look at my church eyeball to eyeball and tell them I am ready to die for what I'm doing. No, my life is not a life of convenience. When you came home, I was coughing. I was sitting in the car, I was coughing. I sat in the car, I told the cough, wait until I finish. Wait until I finish tonight. That is one of the reasons I couldn't come yesterday. But you know what, people? Somebody, one person can save a whole nation or a whole family. One person. Sometimes I just ask a question. So where is that one person? The truth is people are not prepared to make the sacrifice. I remember one day I was sitting in a plane and I was sitting at the emergency exit. And then the air hostess came to me and said, sir, you are aware you are sitting in an emergency exit? I said, yes, ma'am. And that is because I thought emergency exit means in case of trouble, you are the first to run away. You are sitting at a place where you can escape before everybody. So I said, oh, yes, ma'am, I'm very happy to be sitting here. He said, no, you know you have responsibilities. In case of this and this and that, you will be the last person to leave the plane. I said, And then I said, okay. You will be the last to leave the building. I said, So what will I be doing? He said, you have to open here. You have to press this and press that and lift up this and do this. And then you have to guide everybody to go out. And you will be the last. I said, me. Okay, I said, me, Jimmy Saung. Oh, RMC, they should change my seat. Then they moved me. I went and sat somewhere. And the Lord now told me, so if you are not ready to sit there, who in this plane are you expecting to sit there? So the next time I went, they put me in the emergency exit seat. I said, oh, no problem. Then they showed me, you have to press this, press that. And those instructions, normally you won't understand. So I understood nothing. I said, I only said in my head, but I didn't run away. At least it was an improvement over the other time. But you know, between Jacob and Esau, Esau's generations rose up later. And all they realized is that the house of Jacob constantly was a fire. The house of Joseph constantly was a flame. But the house of Esau constantly was stubble, wood, paper, dry leaves. And the descendants of Jacob were just devouring them. Why? They had an ancestor called Esau who did not understand sacrifice. But the descendants of Jacob, their ancestor, understood sacrifice. Your suffering today will generate a future rest for your children. You know what, people? Listen to me. No matter who you are today, one day, Obagbo. One day, listen to me. All of you sitting here, fine like that. One day, we will. So the reason you are actually alive is because of the future generations that are unborn. No, you are not alive for you because you are going to die anyway. You are alive because of babies that are yet unborn, children that have not gone to school yet. And the way you live your life today will give them the foundation on which to stand and live their lives tomorrow. And then they too will live their life and others will stand on them tomorrow. So I'm praying that God will let you understand that apart from a sacrifice, your life means nothing. Spend your life, spend your time, spend your money, spend your effort, spend your wisdom, spend your dignity doing something. Yesterday, something happened when I was getting ready to come to Boga. My whole life is a life of sacrifice. I don't like arguments and fighting. I hate it. We are going to build a church building. And we started building. And the gentleman who gave us the land, and then my people who are building, they had a fight. And the fight was hard. The gentleman said, give me land in exchange for the land I gave you to build the church. My people too said, no, we will not give you a land. We would rather pay you money. And he said he doesn't want the money. And they've been fighting for months, over 9 months. The day before yesterday, I called the gentleman. He spoke and spoke and spoke and spoke. That was a night before I left. He spoke 45 minutes. I didn't understand anything. My wife said, what is he saying? I said, well, if I understood it, I would tell you. He spoke our language, but I don't understand anything. The following day, I told them to come and meet me before I travel. They came. They had a heated argument. 40 minutes. She spoke a lot of things to them which they considered nonsense. And then he left. They made him go because they said they don't want me to hear the nonsense he will speak. And I told them, I've been telling you something all the time. By the grace of God, I have come to a place, not 100%, but definitely over 90%. It is impossible, it is close to impossible to offend me. No. It is close to impossible. You know why? I just assumed that all human beings have mental problems. I just made that assumption and made things easy for myself. And to behave in a way that I'm into us here, me assume say about them. Account you. And to them, I say my way can be I have. Because my diagnosis say we are. It's a very simple way of staying out of offense. Maybe you want to know how I discovered the secret to stay offense free. I assumed, say, Obia Eseke Yalo. Eseke. So, they said, Daddy, we didn't want him to come and offend you, so we made him go. I said, call him. When he came, he sat down. I knew how much he bought the land for. And so my people were going to give him that same amount to go and look for the land. So when he sat in front of me, I told him, I said, we will not get you a land, but I'm going to give you some money to go and get the land yourself. And the figure I mentioned was close to double what he bought the land for. You know, every argument, the day one of the people decide to be a fool, the argument will stop. No, whenever you see an argument prolonging, it's because the two people are very wise. So I decided I'll be the fool. So I said, I'll give you almost double. He said, Daddy, thank you very much. The argument ended in less than 2 minutes. The people were sitting there, were just looking at each other. How did Daddy quench this fire just like that? I quenched it by being a fool. Jesus said, if they slap you on this cheek, turn the other one. If they say, go 1 mile, go two. If they take your coat, give them your cloak. Argument, finish. Listen to me. Don't win argument and lose human beings. What we are big, listen, what we busily do in our world is to lose human beings in the name of winning arguments. I'm talking about sacrifices. You can also listen. So, sacrifice. Sacrifice. So here is Jacob and here is Esau. Two people. Jacob knew what sacrifice was. Esau did not understand it. This is a man who came from the field and he's hungry. And Jacob is holding a plate of food. He said, I'm very hungry. Give me some of this food. But I'm sure Jacob had been looking at this, his brother, for some time. And he knew that this is a reckless human being who, if he holds the birthright, one day he will sell it. So he told him, brother, I'll give you this food, but sell me your birthright. He said, take it. What is a birthright to me? Take it and give me the food. Now watch this. If a man could sell a birthright for food, Can you imagine if it was gold or oil or Rolls Royce? He would sell it easily. So Jacob took the birthright for safekeeping. Otherwise, today, there will be no Israel, because if it was left to only Esau, he would have sold it to another nation long ago. And Jacob took the birthright from Esau. And then years later, the house of Jacob is a fire. The house of Joseph is a flame. They are devouring and they are consuming the house of Esau, because they had an ancestor who the writer of Hebrew calls a profane person and a fornicator, who despised his birthright and traded it for nothing. Listen, what kind of ancestor will you be? You know, I have a challenge with people who pray against ancestral curses for too long. No, I don't have a problem if you are born again and after 1 year or two, you are still praying against ancestral curses. That is fine. It's okay. But when you are a believer, after 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, why are you still blaming an ancestor who died 300 years ago for your problems? This ancestor brought a curse. I agree. He was an idol worshiper. I agree. But you see, he was an illiterate who never went to school. He never traveled abroad. No exposure. He didn't know how to read and write. He had no mobile phone. He was not on social media. He had no email. He had no phone address. Sorry, phone number. He brought a curse. You have a master's degree. You have traveled to New York. You've gone to Singapore. You've gone to Malaysia. In fact, you've gone to Togo. And you have traveled to Dahomey or Benin. What I mean is, wait, wine. Your great-grandfather or your great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather, who brought the curse which you are talking about, he was not born again. You are born again. You speak in tongues. You have a Bible. You are a believer. You are in a church. You have a pastor. If he brought ancestral curses, why are you not rather creating ancestral blessing for future generation to take over? So you know what? I have decided my children, by the grace of God, should not be talking about ancestral curses. Because my children are not going to follow my father or my grandfather or my great-grandfather. My children are going to follow my example. And I am not a curse man. I am a blessed man. God told Abraham. He said, Abraham, in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Why should your children be following the pattern of a dead ancestor? And you yourself, in spite of all the verses you are quoting, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Your life is still after a pattern, the pattern of an ancestor who never went to school, who never traveled anywhere. And you won't ferry. Won't ferry says school fees are perpetuated now. Is the life of an ancestor who never went to school, which is controlling you. The Bible said, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And here we are. The darkness has overwhelmed us. Anybody that is shouting, you are beginning a new life. Something new to start. And that is why we are talking about saviors. That saviors will come up on Mount Zion. That means somebody must appear in your family who says the sin has ended, the sicknesses have ended, the curses have ended, the poverty has ended, the frustration has ended, the confusion has ended. Anybody shouting, that is your blessing in the name of Jesus. That is your blessing. Recently, I lost my big sister. And at the time that I lost my big sister, I heard that one of my younger sisters, her children were insulting all of us. Oh yeah, her children were insulting all of us. In fact, one even sent me an insulting text. One even sent me an insulting text. They were insulting everybody, including me. So, my younger sister, but we lost the big sister. So when I read all those things, I said, no problem. You know, mind you, I told you, I normally assume that people, they are not well. So I told my wife, I said, Pearl, I know how to solve this problem. She said, how? I said, see, this our sister whose children are insulting everybody. I'm going to go to a village and I'll build a house. So I went to a village. I got a land. I built a house. They've completed the house now. I planted a mechanized borehole in the house for her. And the village people wanted a borehole too, because they said they too, they don't have water. So we sank another borehole for the entire village. She has a house. My punishment to her for the insults is to build a house. You know what? I will not respond by coming down to the level they want me to come to. It's not possible. It's like somebody's in a pit insulting you and you fall into the pit. Then you jump into them. You and that person who is crazy. Now, so, there are sacrifices you will have to make in your lifetime, in your family, in your ministry. And the sacrifice will cost your dignity. They'll cost your patience. They'll cost your money. The sacrifices will involve even your life. Even your life. Some of the sacrifices you make may even cost your life. You may die in the process. But you just have to come to the place where you tell yourself, if I perish, I perish. So here is a man, Jacob. Oh, that man, Jacob, knew what sacrifice was all about. I want to show you a few of the sacrifices. Genesis 31, verse 38. This man was with his uncle Laban. I want to show you the kind of tough character Jacob was. Because when you read about Jacob in his father's house, when he was just in his house like a dadaba, and the mother made an animal, even there, let me show you something, the man's ability to make sacrifice. You know, when the mother gave him the venison, such as Isaac loved, and said, take it to your father. He told the mother that, my father will recognize that I am Jacob. And he will curse me. And the mother said, let the curse be upon me. Just go. That means this man was a risk taker. To the point that he knew that even by taking this food, he could be cursed. And he still risked. Listen, saviors are risk takers. Like Esther, they are the people who say, if I perish, I perish. One day I was in the house with mommy. I don't know why. I just told her, I said, Pearl, I am a very happy man. I think I've lived my life quite well. And the reason is, people, an attempt at life, I think I have made an attempt. You may not have done all, but you've made an attempt. You cannot save people sometimes, but at least make an effort. And when everything has happened, you know, I tried. I cannot say I have achieved so much, but at least I've tried. And I'm trying. And I'm pushing. Somebody somewhere must try. So here is Jacob saying, I'm going to go in with the food. My dad may curse me, but I'm prepared to go in. That was a risk he was prepared to make. He was prepared to sacrifice his life by going in. But then you see the sacrificial nature of this man. In Genesis 31, verse 38, he goes to his uncle's house, and this uncle is called Laban, a very hard man, chisel. He said to Laban, these 20 years have I been with you. Your ewes and your she-goats have not cast their young, and the rams of your flock have I not eaten. The man was working and couldn't eat. That which was torn by the beast, I brought not unto you. I bear the loss of it. Of my hand, thou didst require it, whether stolen at day or stolen by night. Thus I was, but this is what I love. The sacrifice. This is the verse I like. Thus was I. In the daytime, the drought consumed me. The daytime, the hammertime winds ate me up. In the daytime, the scorching sun hit on my life. In the daytime, the streets of Makola, and the sun was consuming me because I had to work and pay the school fees of my children. In the daytime, I was the kaya who will carry everything to be able to give my people, my children, a future. In the daytime, the drought consumed me. Daytime, I sweated. Daytime, I was in agony and pain. Daytime, my shame was paraded on the street. Daytime, the drought consumed me. Daytime, the sun beat on me. Daytime. And at night, the frost was on me. I was in the wilderness taking care of the sheep. In the night, I didn't have anything proper to cover myself. The cold was biting into my skin. But I had a purpose. I knew my name is Jacob. I must create a name called Israel. My house must dominate the house of Esau. I have an aim. Ghana. I must bring Ghana to a place of prominence. I must bring Accra. I must bring Ashanti. I must bring Volta. I must bring Northeast. I must bring Puno Ahafo. I must bring the Eastern region to a place of honor. I must bring Upper East region. I must bring the Upper West to a certain place. This is not the time to think about the frost. The frost of the night is on me. The drought of the daytime is upon me. I can feel the heat on my head. I'm tired. My body is failing. I lie down. My body is aching. But I will not give up. I have an aim. I have a purpose. There is something I'm looking for. I have a dream. So, in the daytime, the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from my eyes. Oh boy. If you see me sleep before 1 a.m., then I'm sick. I don't sleep before 1. May that before 1 a.m., and I'm here. And even when I'm sick, 1 a.m., I'm still typing a book. Jesus. Yeah. And I'm You see these books? I have written 104. By the grace of God. Now watch this. By the grace of God, every single one of these books, I typed every letter myself. I wish they had the Millennium Pages of Love here. That book is 1,007 pages. Every letter was typed by myself. I don't sleep. My sleep left me years ago. My body is used to punishment. I'm doing a Zoom meeting. I'm feeling sleepy. I pick up a computer in my hand and I'm walking in the room and still talking. I'm writing a book. My eyes are trying to close. I go to the bathroom. I wash my face. I speak to my eyeballs. And I come back and I continue typing. 104. Every letter was typed by myself. I typed with all my fingers. You know why? And all these books, from book 1 to 104, were printed in England, London, from Bogatanga. And I pay for the print of all these books in pound sterling, and I live in Boga. You know why? You know why? I decided I live in a region where I don't want to do something, and instead of people insulting me, they will insult my region. No wonder, Ofria, and not Ofria. So I decided where I come from. Obi pekwen kre di atem dada. Me manas akwen. And you know what? It informs almost everything I do. The way I think, the way I speak, the way I dress, the way I do my ministry, the way I conduct myself. I am careful that wherever I go, I am the ambassador of Upper East Region. And I'm very conscious of that. I'm very conscious of that. You know what, people? Nobody elected me for that position. I elected myself. I elected myself. I told myself, I want to represent my region well. I want to represent what they call the Pepe man. A ceremony. Hawuzeni. I want to represent my people as best as God will give me ability. I don't want you to take this book and say, "Now, when you cry, Ofri, the boy also no wonder." Because if a white man does shoddy work, nobody will blame his color. But if I do it, they'll blame the shoddy work on a black man. So I decided that this is what they would like to do with a black man. So when I take my books to a white man's church, I don't want them to look down on me. Let me be careful about the way the book is produced. So your sleep will depart from you. Now, when I go to preach in a church, and the church is a white man's church, I know I have an accent. Because even if you take my tongue and re-engineer it, this accent will not go anywhere. And me go preach Obroni church. Me have me home with long preaching. Any provocateurs here? I just take the books and I announce, "Here are my books. I've written 100 of them. Every one of them was written by me, and I type every letter myself." So no matter what the accent is, the white man listening to me knows he has not even written one page. What I'm telling him is that Brofu is their language, which they speak, but Brofu is my language, which I write. Then after that, I preach for only 15 minutes or 20 minutes. And there is something which doesn't know accent, and that is the anointing. Anointing has no accent. So when I'm going to preach in a white man's church, the night I don't sleep. Rakashabahaka. Rokotoboshia. Rakashabahaka. Rokotoboshia. I'm in the bathroom. By the time I reach the church, I'm boiling like fire. When I finish the preliminary stages, I just say 40 seconds from now, the Holy Ghost is about to take over this place. Wondering why? The spirit will start moving. And all the people who are not listening to me because of accent. What's that? What's that? What's that? Very soon I have everybody's attention. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. There is a sacrifice you must make. He said, my sleep went from me. Now, this is the way he dealt with his uncle. This man could make sacrifice. But the sacrifice, which is most intriguing, is one day God himself decided to engage this man in a battle. Genesis 32 from verse 22. This same man called Jacob is going to meet his brother Esau, and he gets to the river Jabbok, which is a tributary of the river Jordan. He got there, and in the night, he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford or the river Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook, and he sent over all the things he had. And Jacob was left alone. That is a savior. They are left alone. Saviors are left alone. I can't remember the last time I had a friend in Borga who I went to visit. Like, maybe if I tell my wife, Pearl, because Ramadan for Biaba, she'll be very shocked. She'll be like, having heard this for over 30 years, because even pastor friends I don't have. When I'm in Borga, it is from the church to the house. The church to the house. Minko Bibia. Minko Bibia. Hello. When I come to Accra, from the apartment to my meeting place. Apartment to my meeting place. Listen to me. As a savior, you will be alone. So Jesus will rise up a great while before dawn, and he will be alone to pray. I like the people who say, well, nobody's minding me, nobody's calling me, nobody's talking to me. Obi and Fime. Yeah, we are savior. You don't even need anybody to feel. You are just too busy. You are too busy. You have an assignment. This man wanted to be alone so that he will pray. And there wrestled a man with him. He didn't wrestle with a man. A man wrestled with him. And there are many things that are wrestling with you. Jacob didn't call this man. The man just appeared. Some believe it was a satanic force. Some believe it was a phantasm he was seeing. Some believe it was an angel, like Angel Michael. But the book of Hosea tells us this was an angel. But definitely it wasn't Michael. I believe it was an epiphany of Jesus. Because later on, he said, I have seen God, so I'm going to die. So this angel was one of the manifestations of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, even before he came in the flesh. There wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. I'm talking about a human being who could wrestle with an angel or with God. How long can you wrestle? How long? Listen, life is for tough human beings. Hey. No people who can wrestle. Things will wrestle with you. Challenges will wrestle with you. I remember when my family went through the unimaginable
people were standing and watching me to see if I will not fall down and just die, and I can't get up again. But the reason is they were making a mistake. They didn't know. I understand my reason for living. I told my wife, I said, Pearl, I'm going to be like a soldier with a bullet in my side, but I will not go down. I will take my hand and hold this spot where the bullet is, and I will fight my battle to the end. I said, I am a carrier of destinies. If I go down, too many things will go down. Listen, you give up too early. He wrestled. The man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. I came to tell somebody, it is too early for you to give up. The day has not broken yet. One day I was going through some challenges. I went to God, I started crying. God said, Israel, don't cry. You are on the firewood. I have not applied the fire yet. There wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. No, yet do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. There wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Verse 25. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him. When God saw that he prevailed not against a human being.
Hey, my Lord.
God was wrestling with a man, but prevailed not against him. You, ancestors have wrestled you to the ground. Ancestral curses. Akwawi, or to me, punishment to the point that angel could not prevail against him. Auntie, I was saying angel, no. A born of foul. The angel had to foul this man in the 18. When he saw that he prevailed not against him, it means the angel was not supposed to touch where he touched. But it was when the angel, and I touched Yakwai in the socket of his hip bone. When he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. So now, the angel has fouled the guy. The guy is still wrestling. In the pain. How much pain are you carrying in life? How much pain can you carry? As a savior, you go through pains. You will lose business. You lose opportunities. You will fail exams. Sometimes relatives will die. Sometimes you will go through sickness. Something may happen to you in the course of trying to save people. One of your legs will be amputated. One of your hands may be amputated. They may chop off your breast because of breast cancer. And you tell yourself, even with that breast, I will continue wrestling. You will play life through the pain barrier. I pray for somebody in the name of Jesus. Nothing can stop you. May God give you the capacity for pain endurance. Pain. Endurance of pain. Endurance. How pain. You can handle the pain of hunger. You are hungry, but you are fasting and praying. You can handle pain. You are single, but you say no fornication, no adultery. I'm single, but holiness is a price I must pay. Come on, clap your hands and scream and give God the glory. They sack you from your job. The pain of humiliation. I will go through it. I will go through it. He wrestled with it until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. This man could handle. The things you go through in life, and it looks like you are going to die tomorrow. Verse 26. And he said, let me go. The angel is telling a wounded man, let me go. Jesus, a pre-draw. Was he crouching? I prevail not against you. I touch the socket of your hip. You are limping. Bible historians tell us that after this episode, Jacob limped the rest of his life. So the Jews don't eat that part of an animal because of their ancestor, Jacob. Let me go. Angel, every draw. This is a human being. Human being. No. Jacob, if you permit me, was a beast. A beast who knew that he was carrying the destiny of a future nation called Israel, who will go through the Holocaust and they must survive. Who will be surrounded by all these hostile nations, but they must survive because they have an ancestor who knew how to wrestle. Makatoni katiyaka. Atapasuli maniyata. Let me go. For the day is breaking. And people will see that a human being has arrested God. Let me go. Obegu angel anymore. Akwaya Daniel Apostle. Let me go for the daybreak. And he said, I will not let you go except you bless me. These are Bible verses. If you don't know sacrifice, you cannot preach them. How much pain have you endured in life? I will not let you go. Except you bless me. And the angel said unto him, what is your name? Angel, no, he has deviated from the question. Akwai, what is your name? You didn't know his name and you were wrestling with him. Not only him, but he wanted him to pronounce the name. My name is Jacob, the heel grabber, the one who supplanted his brother. That is what people say about him. They say he grabbed the heel of his brother. He said, what is your name? He said, my name is Jacob. He said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. And that word Israel means someone who prevailed with God. he wrestled with God and prevailed. Somebody today, you will wrestle with your destiny and prevail. Listen. Onyamiankasa and I am saying, wrestle against it. Brother, what is this thing you are talking about? Can somebody change the way God has made him? Jabez was born in sorrow. He prayed unto God. He said, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. And God heard it. God himself said in the book of Hosea, he found us in Bethel. He made supplication unto us. He wrestled with us and prevailed. And we heard him. I pray for someone. What is your name? He said, my name is Jacob. He said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob. I said, I don't care what your ancestors, where you come from, your tribe, your nation, your race, wherever you were born into. Today, you shall no more be called. You shall no more be called. You shall no more be called Jacob. But you will be called Israel. Prevailer with God, one that has prevailed with God. For as a prince, you have power with God and with men, and you have prevailed. I pray for someone. May you receive the capacity. So that is why the house of Jacob continued to dominate over the house of Esau, because they had an ancestor who could handle pain and punishment. The Bible said in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 13, verse 5, that when the children of Israel sinned against God, he gave Israel a savior, and that savior was called King Joash, so that they went out from under the hand of the Syrians, and Israel dwelt in their tents as before time. Today, God is raising you as a savior for your people. Nehemiah 9:27, my last scripture. Nehemiah 9:27. Therefore, thou deliverest them into the hands of their enemies who vex them. And in the time of their trouble, when they cried unto you, you heard them from heaven. And according to your manifold mercy, you gave them saviors who saved them out of the hand of their enemies. May God raise you up as a savior. Stand to your feet. Listen to me. If there is no future generation you are looking at, just elect yourself to die today. Because if you live beyond today, it must be because of somebody tomorrow. I determined that my children, and my children's children, and my children's children's children should not be talking about generational curses. The reason my father brought me into the world and my mother gave birth to me is so that the curses they had, the blessing on my life will remove the curse. Why will I be talking about ancestral curses at this age? Why will an ancestor, somebody goes for a visa, and when they deny him, he says it's ancestral curse. Did your ancestors look for visa? You wrote A level, failed. You said ancestral curse. Did your ancestor write A level? Are you understanding what I'm saying? Your marriage collapsed. You said it's a generational case. But your ancestors, did their marriages collapse? Sometimes the answer is no. Somebody, come on. Lift up your hands. Yeshua HaMashiach. Lion of Judah. Akunichemba.
Yeshua HaMashiach, Lion of Judah, Agud Echema. Yeshua HaMashiach, Lion of Judah, Agud Echema. Yeshua HaMashiach,
I'm gonna make it.
Listen. Lift up your hand and look up here straight. I see a place. The place is huge. The people standing in this place may be up to 1 million. It's an open field. And I see the Lord anointing people among them. And he said, I'm raising up saviors. Today, I was telling a man something. I showed him a road in the Upper East Region. A long road through a village. And I told him that in the next 1 year or so, anything I can possibly do or move as a human being to make sure that that road is tarred, I want to make sure it is done. You know what? I have this funny belief that in my lifetime, I will tar roads which governments are supposed to tar. I will build hospitals which governments are supposed to build. I'll build schools which hospitals are supposed to, which governments are supposed to build. There are people in this building today. Jesus. Nano see. Palibadosia. Iganame ikeferi karuski. You desire for your family, you desire for your people. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. I pray right now. Lift up your hands. Maybe that oil is coming upon. I have 45 minutes to minister to you. Jesus. Shataprenos Kiliaka. And I hear that the creeping things shall gallop like horses. And people who are moving on their bellies, when the anointing comes upon them, they will gallop and stampede like horses. Jesus. Makatoni Katiyaka. 7 horses have been let loose to my left hand side where I'm standing. Jesus. Take it. Right now. Receive. Lion of Judah. Agune Chemba. Yeshua. Amashia. Lion of Judah. Agune. Somebody bring me some oil. I need 7 people from the left where I'm standing. Somebody bring them to me. Take it right now. In the name of Jesus. Right now. God is raising some simple people and sending them to their families. Receive them in the name of Jesus. Makatali Basua. Lion of Judah. Take it. Bring them to me quickly. Take it. Now. Receive it. family. A tall tree is growing. Lift up your hand to my left and side. There are still five of you left right now. Receive that anointing in the name of Jesus. God is taking you as a giant in that family. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Somebody go out. There are two people outside on this path. Bring them to somebody. Come on, take it. Lion of Judah, somebody lift up your hand and pray. Pray out of your family. A giant is coming alive. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Somebody receive it right now. Nagana Masiya Labatan. The call of Oshiri Divisa. Makele Labosa. Makada Masiya. Me, everybody here. Everybody here, look. Lift up your hand. I need 9 of you in 10 seconds. Take it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Take it. 9. Bring them to me. Somebody shout. Somebody scream. Hey. Makataba la basia. Thank you.
the Savior. But there are times I do some things, and I know that this thing is not me. It's like a written script. You know, Jesus was walking about on earth and he kept saying, "It is written." And the writer of the book of Psalms and Hebrews said, "It is written in the volume of the books concerning him." Sometimes it's like it's written. Prophet Livingston came with me from Bolga. As at the night, he was to come with me. He couldn't get plane ticket on the plane hour from Tamale to come. I kept telling my wife and administrator, "He's coming with me," because I see him with me. By dawn, they called me and said, "He's gone. They've had the ticket. They've had one seat." You watch your whole life, and it's as if it's a book that is written, which is being read. Because when you say, "I'm seeing 36 people in the building." Now listen carefully, 36 people. From today, their life will be like a movie. No, listen. Life will not be a life you are staging, but it will be life you are fulfilling. Now watch it. A life you are staging is something you get up every day and you are thinking about what to do. But a life you are fulfilling is something which is written already. You know, the other kind, so people at the end of the So, you are a millionaire, nothing can change it. You are a man of God, nothing can change it. There is something I tell people. All these men like Prophet Kofi Odo, you attack. They are fulfilling a written script. Omunyaya, and what they are doing and saying, and Omunye. Bauni, on channel. Now I can't hear him. Where shall I? Who CBB? And you don't know why I is going on. Listen to me. In 15 seconds, some of you will see your fingers writing. No, listen to me. You start writing as if a book is open in front of you. You are writing. That is a sign that after today, your life will not be as hard as working to achieve something. But your life will be working in unison or in accordance to a written book. The Bible said, "And these things did Jesus, that it might be fulfilled, that which was written or spoken by the prophets." Lift up that writer. This hand is a pen. I pray in the name of Jesus. Receive inspiration. Taking a deep breath. Taking a deep breath 5 times. Taking a deep breath 5 times. 2, 3, 4, and 5. Ushers, you will see some people. They'll be writing. And they are opening pages. They'll be writing. If so, bring them to me. They'll be writing. And they are opening pages. Bring them to me. And anybody standing anywhere who can see that suddenly your hand is writing something, your hand is opening pages, I
need you to come to me here quickly. Leave him on the ground. Take it. Receive it. Bring them to me. And if no usher is bringing you, if somebody writes that this will fail every exam, who trusts if I the exam will be failed? Not with your truth, if you move on. People write like this in exam, it means it's a wahala paper. And ushers don't hold their hand, otherwise, you see. Somebody bring me that lady. If you are standing anywhere and you see you are opening pages and your hand is writing something, start coming to me here quickly. Take it. Fulfill a written script. Somebody, your health is changing. The story of the doctor will change concerning you. This is holy moment.
This is holy moment.
Bring me all of it. Let it go. Hey.
be no words to say. Oh, oh, oh.
When the glory comes,
when the glory comes,
there'll be no words to say.
Oh, oh,
oh. When the glory comes,
when the glory comes,
there'll be no words to say.
There'll be no words to say.
Oh, oh, oh,
oh, oh.
Fulfill your vision. Listen, even if you are blind, you will still win 100-meter race. I speak it. Osha. Bring me anybody who is writing. Nothing can stop it. You know what? I tell people who hate achievers and saviors, stop wasting your time, because you can never stop them. Now, let me tell you this. Are people, these are people who do more when they are asleep than when you are awake. Because even when they are asleep, angels are working on their behalf. And when they are asleep, their dream is preparing their tomorrow. Father, give me three of them here. Take it. One, two, three. Let it go. Pick it up. Now. Leave them there.
There'll be no words to say when the glory comes. 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 When there'll be no words to say. Ooh.
Showed me two people. This is one. There is one of them somewhere. Now you throw exam. Exam now pong. And they were still writing. And the Lord said that they are delaying in fulfilling what is written concerning their life. But after today, will be fast. This is one. There is a second one somewhere. There were two. This is one. There is one of them somewhere. I pray in the name of Jesus. Every delay
in the fulfillment of your destiny. I pray right now. Anybody standing in the congregation who sees your hand is writing something on the floor. I'm talking about the floor. Your hand is writing something on the floor. I'm talking about the floor. Not standing. The hand is writing something on the floor. Bring me that person. Because they are two. And they are writing on the floor. Not in the air. Ushers, listen to me well. They are writing on the floor. But not in the air.
There'll be no words to say. This lady, she's one of them. Take it. Take it. Take it. The lady in the black and the white. Receive it right. Lift up your hand. Take it. Jesus, let it flow. They entered. The organ and everything. They entered the realm of dreams when the heaven opened. And the Lord said, like Joseph, you will live your life in the realm of dreams. Share. Life will become easier than you ever imagined. Because you see, your life from today will not be according to textbook, but the dreams that God will give to you. Lift up your hands. Put them on the sides of your head. Close your eyes. Lift up your head. And those people that will enter that realm, where they are standing, God will lift them up into the realm of dreams. They'll think they collapse, but God actually took them into a realm of dreams. No noise. They'll be standing by you. They'll just drop as if they've fallen asleep. Some of them will wake up. Some of them will wake up after 10 minutes. Some of them after 3 minutes. Look at that lady. She's gone. Take it. That's it. Don't bring them. Just leave them where they are. Take it. Right now. In the dreams, you see prosperity. I see two of them in the choir. I'm telling you.
Two of them are standing now. I see two of them standing where they are singing. But in the spirit, God has taken them into a realm. Receive it. Take it. Now. Take it. Take it. That is where you belong. It looks like a dream, but that is where you belong. Receive it. Some of them will enter the realm and they'll see they are in palaces. They are in places of prosperity. They are in places of ministry. In the name of Jesus. Receive it right now. Come on, take it. Right now. Receive it. Take it in. Everybody, taking a deep breath. 5 times. Let it go. Take it in. 2. And the 3rd time. And the 4th time. And the 5th time. Receive it right now. That is it. Come on, take it. Right now. Right now. Right now. Every struggle is giving way to perfect fulfillment of divine agenda. Come on, receive it right now. Take it now. 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 Right now. In the next 15 seconds. In the next 15 seconds. I see a divine manifestation of God in your life. Come on, take it. 2. And the 3rd. And the 4th. And the 5th. And the 6th. And the 7th. And the 8th. And the 9th. And the 10th. And the 11th. And the 12th. And the 13th. And the 14th. Come on, take it. Right now. Right now. Right now. Receive it. Let it flow. Let it flow. Let it flow. Take it. Don't bring them to me. Just leave them where they are. Everybody, lift up your hand. Start worshiping Jesus. Give him glory. Worship Jesus. I pray right now. Spirit of God. 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 Last week, listen to me. Last week, I was doing a meeting here in Accra. And I raised an offering. I said, people, to sow a seed of 5,000. And then a gentleman came, he picked up the envelope. After the meeting, he came to me and said, sir, I came rather believing God to sow a seed of 10,000, but not the 5,000. So tomorrow when I'm coming, I'll bring a seed of 10,000. You know what, people? Whenever you sow a seed, for me as a person, I scarcely give an offering because I'm expecting something from God. Because most of the time, I think he has done more than enough already. Just being born again, just being saved is more than enough. You know, I'm the son of a man who used to be an adult worshiper. And I used to see the way he used to do it. The way they were dedicated to these idols. When I got born again, giving to God is not a struggle to me. But I don't need anybody to force me to do it. I don't even need God to promise me that if I do it, he'll give me something in return. All I do it if I see a good... You know, normally, when I go into a shop to buy a shoe, the shop owners, the only thing they promise me is the shoe I'm going to buy. So the shoe is 70 pounds. When I give them the 70 pounds, they give me the shoe. So when I come to church, the only thing is that they are preaching a word. The word has been preached. And I'm like, this word is a good word. It's a good word. And where they are, there's light, so they pay electricity. Nice carpet. They keep the environment nice. This hall is so nice, so beautiful. The ambience and everything. Stage work. Screens. And I'm telling myself, I saw for you, I are there. And tune in.
ejume yi me bu ejume yi. It's simple. I think people should come to the place where they give so easily because they love God and they don't struggle to do it. I want someone to sow a seed of 5,000 into this honorable ministry. If you are somebody like that, can you come to me quickly? Pick up an envelope and do it between today and tomorrow. Come to me and do it. Don't wait for us to speak long for you to respond. Just come on down and say, I want to be a blessing. I want to be a blessing. Come down. The Lord bless. Lift up your hand, talk to God. Whether you are outside or inside, just respond. Move and say, I just want to be a blessing to this work. I want to be a blessing to this work. Can you do it in 2 seconds? In 10 seconds? In 30 seconds? Glory be to God. I want to be a blessing to this ministry. Thank you. God bless. Somebody wants to be a blessing to this ministry with a seed of 1,000. Can you come on down quickly? I want to be a blessing to this work. You know what, people? This is your ministry. Thank you. This is your ministry. This is your ministry. I want to be a blessing. Don't sit down. The opposite of sowing a seed is sitting down. Please, don't give an opposite. Thank you. Can you put it in and put it on the altar? I want to be a blessing. The seed of 1,000. Come on down quickly. Can I get 10 more people to do that? Somebody says, I want to sow a seed of 100. Come on down quickly. And between now and tomorrow, make sure you do it. Come on, quickly. Pastor Mark, help me. Can I have some more envelopes here? Pastor Ben, help me. You are a pastor. I have ordained you already. Today I was standing home. You know, there are some of the songs we sing in our churches. They are actually heavenly songs. They are actually songs. They are heavenly songs. And some of you go to heaven one day and realize that these songs are being sung. Somebody come and walk to the front, pick up an envelope, sow a seed of 50 today. Just go ahead and do it. Today, don't leave yourself out of giving an offering. Do it. Stand to your feet, do it. Do it because you love the Lord. Do it because you love this ministry. Do it because you love the things of God and you want to be a blessing. I was standing and I heard a song. And the song was very far. But the place I saw looked like this building, the way I see the building on TV and on social media. So I knew the song was coming out of this building. And it was a beautiful song. Everybody pick up a good offering from today. Pick up a good offering tonight. From outside into inside this building. And I want you to pick up that offering. Start coming. Start coming. Start coming. Start coming. I'm waiting for you to start coming. Whether it's a 20 or a 10 or a 5 or a 1. Just start coming. Oh, that song, it was so beautiful. From way up. He said, na watu onyankopon na kwa mo senyo neguama e radi nyankopon adinina ojuma Oh, Señor, yeah.
the building.
saw a lady standing by the offering. She was standing on the side. Normally, something just draw your attention. Obia got na se onu ko ejira. Ife ni dress ni so abi ni se onya kwasha. Ana onya singa. Nem fre. When we say also for you can easily tell her to go and sit down and embarrass her for nothing. But I'm growing wiser and more caring when I'm ministering. I just looked at my daughter standing there. So I called Pastor Mark. I said, can you ask her? Just ask her why she's still standing there. Because Niru, if you say, will be out of us. Pastor Mark will be saying, was here in the school fees. And the Pastor Mark said, see me after service. And I know he will do something about the school fees. And to him, Biaba, sorry, they had the car in the school fees. Sometimes I hear people say the only problem in Ghana is these churches. Then I ask, which of the churches are they talking about? Because as for the churches I know, including Alabaster, the only correct thing in Ghana is the churches. No. Seriously. For me, I don't know. If you come to Boga and remove our church, you have removed something mega. No, you have removed something mega from the city. Because that's for our church in Boga. They are light. And they are the salt of the earth. They are. No, come to Boga and remove desert pastures. No, you have caused chaos and vacuum. It will be like coming to break the pillars of this building. This year, beginning of the year, and Kuala Mako, 106 Echo School, we have to pay all the fees. Some are in university, some are in primary school, everywhere. You come to the church, and every month, 57 widows, they are on payroll. 57. Not to talk about food. Last week when I finished church service on Sunday, my food distribution committee came to me with a long list. They want to provide food to these families. Them boreholes. They are sinking boreholes. You know, I'm not even talking about the spiritual things yet. I'm seeing people today. After this meeting, you will become a savior. Yes. The Bible said that Joseph was in prison. And everything that was done good in the prison, the prison keeper left everything in the hands of Joseph. And every good thing that was in the prison, which was done in the prison, Joseph was the doer of it. As for me, I'm determined though. A crazy decision I took when we lost our big sister. By the time we lost her, she had her own house. Then I determined, as long as I live, every one of my father's children who hasn't got a house, I'm going to help them to get a house. Every one of them. So I started with that, my younger sister. And I told myself, God forbid that the nice house I live in Boga, some of my siblings from the same father and mother will one day die and they don't have a house. and I'm busy getting one house after the other, one house after the other. We are dying, saying, me were dying seven. Now we are nowhere. God forbid. God forbid. God forbid. God forbid. God forbid it. When my big sister passed, and she had houses, I said, hey, it's a good thing to pass when you have a house. Then I asked myself, so if it was one of the others who have no house, what would have happened? Then I told myself, I'm going to help them. I will not build church buildings and church offices and story buildings for church work and forget my brothers and sisters. Because one day, we will not call baby a church for you. Even your wife who is a widow, they'll forget about her. I saw him. On the way, would you say, okay? They are so scared. Question the bush. Debbie, even whilst we are alive, even whilst we are alive, I have paid many people's school fees with ministry money. I have never paid one cedi of my children's school fees with ministry money. Because that one, the church elders will complain. I didn't need the associate. I just saw for my. But would you share a bit more? Ma, yeah. But would your money, the only and way? Look, when you use church money and rent house for church members, everybody will clap for you. You use the money to go and rent your own house. You hear? The only place in the world where the worker is not worthy of his hire is the church. No, doctor will do his work. You eat from the medicine. Nobody will complain. Engineer, eat from the work. No work. Or so forth. Yes, you are the risk guy. Uncle D and me, Adrian. And I look at my brothers and my sisters, and I'm like, you know what? Some of what I used to do church, let me help them. Let me put a smile on their faces. Even if they live in a village. Unim, anajui, unyame, amaweyenji. Wamba waye in Shira. Emma, we bush ya for first. When a bush ya for nibi omudi ya pa. Because in Shira a bias unyano. They don't experience it. Nyami Shira and pe. Nessie omia bunzan for. They are poor mu complete. Nessie, now our brethren are in the church. Who are my brethren? But these ones that hear the word of God and for, oh boy, your brethren are still the same people who came from your mother's womb with you. I said, whether you like it or not, one day if you die, the people who cry most are the people who came from the same womb with you. No. Stop all this. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. The day you die is the day you know that that which is born of the flesh is really flesh. Jesus. What am I hearing? I'm hearing the sound of coins dropping on the ground. Kri-kri-kri. As if Obia ordinary son a new coins, Musa. Obi jinaha otisa didenu in your ear. Is somebody hearing that noise in your ear? like hearing some noise, like metals are ringing in your ear. If you are hearing that thing, lift up your hand. I want to talk to you. Somebody's hearing noise, like chains, like coins. It's metals are making noise in somebody's ear. Can the person come here to me? Fortunately, you are also wearing a golden chain, so it's good. Gentlemen, what you are hearing this morning, we are looking at a very rich man. Favor is coming upon you from today. You are still hearing it. I'm not a prophet. A man of God. What I see, I see. What I hear, I hear. What I know, I know. And it can be so sharp, I can't doubt it. I'm still hearing it. That is money dropping. Gold. Now, when the wealth comes, remember your family. Where is your brother? You don't have a brother. Where are your sisters? Come again. They are in your hometown. So it means you are the only boy, and the rest are all girls. Two girls. And you are the
last born.
But your sisters, how are they? Are they doing well?
No.
You are the only brother they have. You are their only hope. Gentlemen, I told you before, I had a throat challenge. But the whole day I was coughing. I told the cough to stop until I finish. Joshua stopped the sun and the moon. So cough was who did catch his only on 10. Upon us already.
I've had a dream two times about you, and you were giving me 50 CDs, all the two dreams that I had.
And that is
you were dashing me money, 50 CDs.
And then, at the beginning, before I went up to preach, Prophet Kofi Oduro put 250 notes here. And the prophet, compared 50 million, signed for bread. It's good to have a prophet who has 250s. And yes, I'll have an uncle come up with you.
We have too much.
Gentlemen, this is representation. I just talked about my sisters. The ones I'm helping are my sisters. And I told you, I decided that my sisters. The man and sisters.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus. Mumra Mejano, what your son? Midi,
Jesus.
What your son? Mumra Mejano. Oh, yes.
Jesus, oh, yeah.
Some people normally follow me to meetings. And they don't see immediate results. But those of you that accompanied me on this trip, and those who have been accompanying me in the past, there is accumulated reward. I stood here and the Lord said, the people who have been accompanying you to these meetings, from the days you started ministry up till tonight, their reward is coming upon you. Take it. Some of them are not here. Some are in the building. Some are home. Let them receive the blessing. Ah, Jesus. To give you only to say thank you, Lord. Almighty Father, thank you. I'm standing in the Alabaster House. That's why I brought this. I saw oil pouring in a vessel. I looked at the wall. I saw pictures of men of God. I've been preaching in Ghana for years, including our own church. I've never gone to the church of a man of God and seen the pictures of men of God in the country on a wall like this before. I have a feeling that this means that you truly honor this man and this woman who are on the wall. Sometimes when I'm doing a meeting and it's like I'm about to close, then a certain garment will come on me. The Lord withheld that garment throughout the service until I stood here and started speaking to that gentleman. Then I felt it come on me. I'm not a prophet, but that mantle, something prophetic. And as I'm speaking, I see something like a piece of cloth. They are popping out of the wall and they are spreading on you. They are spreading on you, and Mama Rita. Father, I pray all these mantles they truly admire, let the mantles begin to work right now. Take it. Jesus. Somebody bring me towels. Mighty God, I bless your name. Holy One, I worship you. God above, mighty God, say.
For who you are.
are many who have never seen the glory of God. The day you see the glory of God, you will attempt running away from the glory. Ushers, in the next 20 seconds, you will see somebody running out of the building. Bring them to me. You see them. Now watch them. Don't bring them at once. You see them running out of the building. Then you bring them to me. Lead them. Otherwise, you will not know the direction in which they are going. They will be running out of the building. The glory of God is appearing to them. They are receiving anointings. I see the maps of nations. The maps of nations, including the map of Ghana. And these maps are turned upside down. So you see Togo and it's upside down. Ghana is upside down. Nigeria is upside down. United Kingdom upside down. And the Lord said, I am raising men who will go to nations and turn the cities upside down with the spirit of revival. And I pray right now, the revival mandate that God has given Alabaster, that oil is stirred up in this congregation. I see the anointing multiplying on people. Receive it right now. Bring them to me. Bring them to me. Bring them. There is a gentleman wearing a dress which is like olive green, yellow in color. It's like a political suit. He should come to me here. It's okay. Keep the lady. Take the lady back. Take the lady back. I'm done. Jesus. Gentleman. Receive oil. Bring him closer. Receive oil. Many months after today, a few years from today, you will testify of tonight that oil came upon you and you were turned into another man. Jesus, save my daughter from being crushed. Jesus, see an anointing flow. Somebody came into the building and said a problem was school fees. Some have come here and they are waiting for a certain anointing. And Jesus, I'm about to close this meeting. May the Lord walk you. Oh, look at this gentleman. The Spirit of God is all over you. Receive it. Come on, take it. Let it go. Flow. Take it. Come on. Let it go. Flow. 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 Somebody lift up your hand right now. Receive the anointing for this meeting. Tomorrow night, we'll be having an anointing service. We'll be doing an anointing service tomorrow. We are going to believe God. Myself and prophet will lay hands on all of you and believe God for the impartation of the Spirit on you. And I'm praying to God Almighty, may the oil that flows in this house turn you into another person altogether. Amen. Lift up your hand and bless the name of Jesus. Give him the glory. Come on, thank him. The prayer of God. When we finish the service, don't forget, go there and look for a book. Especially Saviors and Saviors Warrant and the Explosion series. Read them. God bless your life. Lift up your hand and talk to God. Bless him. Thank you, Father. Eternal Messiah, we give you glory and honor. Bless your mighty name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we welcome the prophet?
Son Timothy. Let's applaud my father. Are you clapping? Silent clap. Clap, 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 clap. Thank you for your love for staying through. I tell you on Sunday. Keep clapping. Till my father exits. Clap. Everybody that joined us online, thank you. This week in Xavier 2023, we are going to see the restoration of raw power, scintillating power, cataclysmic power, catatonic power, catastrophic power. We are going to see belligerent, undiluted power. Somebody shout power. I'm talking about. The question, where are the tongue broadcasters? Where are the past preachers? Where are the people that are bringing our hearts back to alignment? Where are the people who can boldly stand before you and tell you we are all going to die, and after death there will be judgment? The trumpet is sounding and we can death, but nobody is an agent, is an agent. Year 2023, we are going to see the restoration of raw power, scintillating power, cataclysmic power, catatonic power, catastrophic power. We are going to see belligerent, undiluted power. Somebody shout power. I'm talking about. Has come for judgment to begin in the house of God, because the house of God have been turned into the den of thieves. The house of God have been turned into a pivot of exploitation, deception, manipulation, seduction. The house of God have been a place of ridicule. The house of God have been turned into laying grounds for charlatans to come and display their words. The house of God has turned into the place where we showcase and exhibit flesh and carnality. The house of God now has become the place where the people go to hear nonsense and madness. The house of God now has turned into the place where the people go to chase girls and go and snatch husbands, go and snatch people's wives. The house of God has now turned into all kinds of madness where the people don't fear God anymore. The house of God has been turned into the place that the moment you begin to talk against sin, iniquity, transgression, and wickedness, the preachers will tell you to tone down, because they themselves are struggling with the standards of God. The house of God has now turned into the place where they ridicule the holy things, like speaking in tongues and the Holy Ghost. The content of the gospel itself have been thrown away. We are now gone into motivational speaking and political, you know, rhetoric. There, the house of God have been destroyed and displaced.
Doesn't matter what you go through. This is the season of the celebration of Jesus Christ. Alabaster International Ministry presents Jesus Celebration with Prophet Kofi Odro. Venue, Tesano Worship Center near Tesano Gardens. Come and encounter a deep and total renewal in Christ. For inquiries, call 0202-614-781.